the federal income tax. On April 15th, the Republic strikes back.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Hi, Bob. How are you doing? Bob, are you there? Okay. And Sydney, it's lots of things you brought up in the last couple of the forecasters. One of them I thought was so fascinating. You pointed out that with the massive increase in unemployment, that Social Security isn't getting in the amount of money that they would ordinarily would have budgeted for, and they're going to run out of money. How soon is Social Security going to run out of money and this whole Ponzi scheme go belly up?
Well, at the current rate of deterioration, I would say 4 years, maybe five. Period. That's it. There's no reserves because they've been spent. The bonds that are sitting in a vault are untradeable. They don't mean anything. And so there's no money there. Medicare is the same thing. They've used all that money. And so I think both systems, 4 or 5 years will be broken down. They'll probably insure people on the Medicare probably maybe 30% of what they were getting. And Medicaid, I don't think they'll get anything. And if they do, it'll be 10% of what they were getting, just emergencies. And in Social Security, probably 35 to 50%. But I do believe at that point in time, in deflation, will have taken over the depression in which we're in, which is inflationary right now. And what will happen is that the cost and price of everything will go down as we go into, I don't know, 30, 40, 50% unemployment. It's going to happen all over the world. Everybody's faced with the same thing. And even the nations that have big social programs that have collected taxes for that, like in Europe, they're not going to be able to keep their systems up. They'll last a little bit longer than we will, but that's it.
Well, I think that most people find it hard to believe Social Security and Medicare are really Ponzi schemes, but that's exactly what Madoff did. Only Madoff, of course, will go to prison for it, and our congressman will get off scot-free, but they're paying the current outflow with the money that's coming in because there are no reserves other than useless bonds, which are part of the national debt, which the government has no means of paying for. And my concern that all this talk about socialized medicine is really a prelude, of course, to the rationing, massive rationing of health care and letting the elderly and the ill die.
That's right. We are useless eaters.
Well, it's a tragic, tragic situation, and you know, they use, of course, the CBS 60 Minutes had a wonderful program on last night to pull at your heartstrings about the cancer patients that aren't getting treatment, and although they didn't mention socialized medicine, Obama's health care program, that's what it was really all about, and these people are trapped in a system, but they're trapped in a system that the government made before government interfered in the health care system in 1965. Every county had a health care system, and everybody got treatment. No longer is that the case. And unfortunately, people are going to die today. But the solution is not more government programs. It's getting the government out and let doctors take care of patients and, of course, require the drug companies to stop, you know, giving medications that are so expensive and really are not that much better.
Unnecessary medication.
Many times, absolutely. Well, our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman. From the International Forecaster, we're going to be back here in just a moment when we return from this break, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. My guest is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. We're talking about, of course, the financial crisis that is consuming the world today. What most people do not understand is that it's estimated that as much as $60 trillion has been lost in real estate and stock market and in pension funds and all of these insurance funds throughout the world, $60 trillion. And of course, they had a meeting recently over in London, and they're going to throw $1 trillion at it. And they know it's not going to do anything, but they're trying to give the impression that they're doing something. After all, we can't tell the American people that the people who created this problem, who run our government, really want to destroy this nation, to transfer our wealth to other nations, to impoverish the American people. Why, if they knew the truth, the people might actually want to throw the scoundrels out. You take it over from there, Bob. Would you agree or disagree with that analysis?
I agree. And, you know, it's we've got to the point now where I would say, this is an approximation, probably close to 90%, 85% of Congress is simply paid off. And that's what campaign contributions are all about. And in other little goodies that they get away with. And they don't react because they're paid. And, I mean, look at Mr. Obama's contributors. Who's who on Wall Street? I mean, AIG gave him over $100,000. That's why you see the program you see continuing in motion.
Well, because didn't Goldman Sachs and then J.P. Morgan Chase give him massive amounts of money? I think somebody said that J.P. Morgan, pardon me, Goldman Sachs was one of his largest contributors.
They were. Not quite as much as AIG, but they're all in there. And, you know, that's how they buy these people. How do you solve it? Well, the government funds every election. Every man running in, a woman running in the final to be a congressman in one or two or three parties are each given, I don't know, $100,000, $1 million each, whichever, to run their campaign, and they can't start campaigning until like 3 or 4 weeks before the election.
Some of the finest congressmen that money could buy, I think, would be the analogy. We'll be back in just a minute with Bob Chapman. What we need are honest people, and not people who have been bought and purchased at a price. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob is just talking about the congressmen we have back in Washington, D.C., some of the finest congressmen money could buy. I mean, where do you think Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer get the tens of millions of dollars necessary to run for the Senate, or congressmen get the millions of dollars needed to run for the House of Representatives, or Barack Obama got the $600 to $700 million, of course, that he used during the last campaign? Well, it's the same people, of course, financing both sides, but they gave more to Barack because they wanted him in. They collapsed the economy just before the election to make sure they got in, and it was all slam dunk. And, of course, Barack Obama is bringing into his campaign the people, for instance, people like Timothy Geithner, Trilateral Commission Bilderberger's Council on Foreign Relations. He headed
Goldman Sachs,
right, Henry Kissinger and Associates. And he's the man, of course, who headed the Federal Reserve Bank of New York and worked with the Republican administration in order to create the problem that now, the Obama administration has inherited. So he was working with the Republicans. Now he's working with the Democrats. There's not a dime's worth of difference, but we can't let the public know that. Well, Bob, give us your appraisal of what happened at the G20 and where we're going from here.
Very little happened. It was a love fest, if you may. And everything was scripted. Lots of photo ops and hugging and patting on the back and shaking hands. And no one had anything to say that was nasty about anybody else. They didn't talk about a new currency like a group of currencies, say 10 currencies, as an international unit. They talked about SDRs, special drawing rights. They've been around for 50 years. They were used limitedly. They've been a loser. But it's something to do for them. And so their fiat, the IMF can make them up anytime they please. And they loan them to different countries who then use them to pay bills or pay for trade imbalances, things like that. People aren't going to carry SDRs around in their pockets.
Well, of course.
And, what's that?
Oh, go right ahead.
So then it's another fiat symbolism. It's another juncture in the road. It's another appendage to prolong what is going on, to extend this problem that we have financially and economically worldwide. And again, they'll pull the plug when they want, and I think it will be done simultaneously with a third world war. We're increasing troops in Afghanistan. I think we must be close to 100,000. And we have over 75,000 mercenaries there. So they give us about a couple of 100,000 people over there. And their intention is to go into Pakistan and Bangladesh and India and have all kinds of war going on. And they can blame the war on the financial and economic situation. And at the same time, when the war's over, they'll have a big meeting, and they intend to put in a world currency. And this is the script that they'll follow. You and I have discussed it before. But everything is not going all that well for them. The programs for extension aren't working. It's not that in the final analysis they're going to pull the plug anyway, but they want to pull it when they want to pull it. And they don't want it to happen next week or next month. It's a little bit further down the line. They have to get their third world war going first. And so that'll probably take the next couple of years. In the meantime, they'll continue to flood the economy with money. The Fed and Treasury have put $12.8 trillion into the kitty. And as you know, I said that 6 months ago, the figure would be between 12 and 13 trillion. Everybody thought I was insane as usual. And they were all saying $500 billion, and they went up to $1.5 trillion, and they were all wrong again. And we could be up to $15 trillion by the end of the year. We could be to $20 to $30 trillion next year. And you know, the whole thing is totally out of whack.
$1 trillion.
Of course, this is going to be extraordinarily inflationary, because not only are they creating money in credit, but they're monetizing part of it immediately. I expect that the Fed will monetize $4 to $5 trillion worth of treasuries between now and the end of the year. And unfortunately, I'm right on and just about everything. And so that's where we're headed. And we're in a little hiatus here. The stock market went up. It's going to go back down again. And it'll test its lows during the remainder of the year, maybe quickly. And they get gold down to 870 again. They only get gold down like that and make that kind of an effort when there's some horrible news coming. We We know the earnings are going to be dreadful for the corporations, but there's something else going on that we don't know about. And that's why they want gold to start from a lower level this time on its way to 1,000.
Well, I noticed, of course, it was down at 570 here in the United, pardon me, 870 in the United States, but it was 895 in Dubai at exactly the same time. So obviously it's all manipulated. That's what the Working Group on Financial Markets does. They manipulate the stock market, the commodity market, the gold and silver market. I thought it was really very interesting last night on CBS 60 Minutes. Of course, they had a story there about some man who was an Iranian who was in Iranian jail and terribly tortured and abused. And so, but this is what they always do when they're preparing for a war with a country. They have these atrocity stories. And they did this at the time of the First World War. You know, all we read about day after day after day in the newspapers back there in 1915, 16, 17 was about how the wicked Huns were cutting off the hands of little Belgian boys and the breasts of the Belgian women, and the atrocity stories they do to get the people to hate the other side. So obviously when 60 Minutes spends one of their segments on torture in an Iranian jail, people didn't even mention that it was the American CIA that brought the mullahs to power back in 79. We toppled the Shah. We brought the mullahs to power, but we don't mention that. It's simply how ruthless they are today, and of course how terrible they are, and the torture, and how, you know, the Muslims cut off the hands and feet of people. They do that in Saudi Arabia. But why don't we talk about it in Saudi Arabia? Because they want us to hate the Iranians, because we're going to war with Iran sooner or later, I fear. But anyway, Bob, certainly as far as the conference was held, that was held this last week, they seem to have talked about increasing regulations of banks and hedge funds and other investment companies throughout the world. Is this of any significance in your opinion?
Yes, it is, but it's 5 to 10 years away. The U.S. is trying to hold on to the dollar as a reserve currency as long as possible because it's a license to steal, just like the Federal Reserve. And so they're going to try to hold on as long as possible. A crack in the ice came last week when Geithner said that, perhaps there'll be a world currency or something like that. And so they've been given a word, and that word is that it's over, and it's only a matter of time now. And so I think they'll devalue and default not only the dollar, but all the currencies. It'll probably happen during the Third World War, which I believe will be nuclear, if Israel has anything to say about it. And I think that that will bring about the collapse of the world economy. And, of course, it will be blamed on the war. And these same people behind the scenes will attempt to control all of us. And if we haven't done anything about what they're doing before that, we better do it then, or we're going to live in internment camps, and people like you and I, Stan, will be found in a ditch someplace with a hole in the back of our heads. That's how it will work.
Well, we have to rely upon the Lord. We can't actually simply live in constant fear. You know, they say a coward dies 1,000 deaths, a brave man dies but once, and as long as the Lord's looking after us, why, we'll be there on the front lines trying to make people understand that there is a small group that controls our government. It has, going back, you know, for 100 years. In fact, that is exactly what Franklin Delano Roosevelt, what I said. I have a letter he wrote, and we offer that in our new syllabus called The Financial Armageddon, a letter Franklin Roosevelt wrote to Colonel House in 1933, in which he said, well, as you and I both know, If a financial element in major centers has controlled the government of the United States since the days of Andrew Jackson, and we're going to see that struggle carried out once again during my administration. Those were his words, and you can actually get a copy of that letter in our Financial Armageddon syllabus, which we're offering through Radio Liberty. People must understand that nothing is as it appears to be. And, of course, most people have no idea even who controls the Fed or really what this is. This is a privately owned central bank, and it is not primarily owned by Americans. In fact, Congressman McFadden was talking about that back in 1932 in this speech that he gave before a Congress, which most people have never read. Fortunately, we have this information, and we want you out there in the listening audience to help us get it out to the people across America. Well, Bob, certainly, how long do you think they're going to be able to keep the price of gold down?
A couple of weeks. It's not going to last. I'll tell you why. The stocks, the good ones, are telling us, hey, we don't want to go down. This isn't for real.
Are you talking about the gold stocks or what?
Yeah, the good ones.
All right, fine.
They're not reacting downward the way they should. And there's tremendous pent-up demand. Not only there, but also in the physical market. The futures market, 34% of the eligible gold on COMEX in April is already spoken for.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Chapman. Well, Bob, the point you're making, of course, is that ordinarily people do not take the gold. I mean, they get in the futures market, and, of course, then they simply, it's all a paper transfer. No gold or silver or platinum changes hands. But now, suddenly, people are asking for the gold. Is that right?
Yes. These are large buyers. And usually, in an active month, and April is an active month like February was, and the big month is December. And so when you get 34% taking delivery, that's tremendous. I mean, 3 months in a row at that level, and there's none left. And I know that they've been trying to pawn off receipts for gold rather than have people take delivery, and some of them have done that, but most of them haven't. Some of them are rolling into future contracts because they're just gamblers. But there's a substantial amount of people taking delivery. So the physical market is going to drive this thing. We've had a drop-off in Indian buying. And the Indians are the biggest buyers of gold in the world, silver as well. They probably own approximately one-third of all the gold ever produced, and they buy about 30% of all the gold produced each year. And the price went up to 1,000, they backed off, and now it's dropped below 900, and I see yesterday and today that the Indian dealer orders are starting to pick up. And so there'll be a factor in the market in here. Also, you're going to have short covering, which should be taking place just about now. It was about 7,000 contracts covered, long contracts, terminated today in the market, and that's a large amount. Now, it could be speculators getting out, but I think they're already out, as we had some big numbers before. So I think that's short covering. And you get 10 days like that, and what they want to cover is finished. So that's why I don't think the downside has much more to go. The drive down in the prices has been caused by the U.S. government. If you look on Saturday's issue, letters to the editor, under the U.S. section, at the end of the U.S. section, you'll find a letter from one of our subscribers. And what it says is a friend of mine at a top auditing firm internationally has told me that the United States government is manipulating the stock market, and he named two countries. They're in there. I forget what they were. And that they are making their orders look like regular institutional orders when they're not. And they're naked shorting the market, naked going long the market. In the gold, they have two other countries that they work from, one of them being the Cayman Islands, and they're naked short. And so, you know, this is proof positive. This is a man who's in a position of power in probably the largest auditing firm in the world. And so he knows what he's talking about. And he told us in confidence to the subscriber who passed it on to us. And we get a lot of letters like that. But that's what they're doing, and they're going to run out of gas. So those are people who are in gold and silver. Price goes down. Great opportunity. You want to buy some coins tomorrow and
hold that thought,
some
Bob.
Stocks tomorrow.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Bob Chapman, and we're talking about really what's happening in the gold market, silver markets. It's Bob's contention, I think he's right, that the government and their friends and the large banking firms, because of course the banking firms and the government are almost like one, why they're actually manipulating the stock market, and they're manipulating it intensely, but they're also manipulating the gold and silver market, because they do not want people to start getting into gold and silver because it really shows a lack of faith in the currency. And they've used this currency. They've created money out of nothing. They've created tremendous prosperity by creating phony money. They've been counterfeiting money for years. And now it's beginning to catch up with them. Bob was saying that in the latest issue of the Forecaster, there was an article there from one of his subscribers that said that they're manipulating the stock market not only in the United States but in other countries. Is that right, Bob?
Yeah, the orders are emanating from other countries.
Okay.
And the same thing with the gold market as well, making it go down.
All right, right, and certainly if anybody can go to the Kitco today and see that a gold here in the United States, 870, 875, somewhere in there. But look at Dubai, 895. So why is it so high in Dubai and so low in the United States? It's all being manipulated, but it's all a matter of perception. And it's how you look at it rather than the real value. And, of course, Bob is pointing out that that India has cut back on buying gold and silver for a while, but they're going back into the market, are they?
Yes, they are. It's starting to pick up. It's also starting to pick up in the Middle East as well. And, of course, any product is price sensitive. I mean, if you can buy a car for $24,000 or $25,000, that normally sells for $32,000, you do that. Well, same thing with gold. If you wait, sometimes it comes back to you. Not all the time. And, you know, that's the danger of trading markets. But in this case, it did come back. So they're in there with both hands buying again. And don't forget, in the fall, we get two big feast days coming up. And so there'll be a lot of buying in September, October.
You're doing now in speaking of Indian feast days?
Yeah, the Diwali and the other one, which I forget.
And of course, as Bob has pointed out,
That'll come pretty quickly. And, you know, time passes quickly, especially if you're older, right, Stan?
Right. Bob was just saying, of course, India has traditionally been the largest buyer of gold and silver in the world, and that has not really changed. Although people are saying that the Russians seem to be talking about the importance of getting to a gold-backed currency, or at least something to get away from the dollar, because they don't want to use the dollar as a reserve currency. Why? Because, of course, we just are printing dollars. That's great for us, but terrible for the world because we're destroying the value of the things people are holding. I thought one of the really interesting things I read today was that the Chinese apparently are going into a lot of other countries, Australia and certainly Brazil and other countries that have a lot of natural resources, and they're spending, you know, literally hundreds of billions of dollars buying up, I think, $50 billion 1 year and probably more this year, just buying up mines like Rio Tinto, one of the largest mines in the world. They'll have a large percentage of that, and they're just buying up natural resources all over the world because they want to get rid of their dollars. Is that accurate, do you think?
It certainly is. You know, the IMF's talking about selling 403.3 tons of gold. They've been talking about it for a long, long time. And they come out, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who is the direct managing director of the IMF, said, look, you know, we already have buyers for it. So it's not going to hit the market. Who's going to buy it? The Chinese, of course. I mean, what a wonderful way to dump dollars. And so that's what they're going to do. And so that's going to come to market, and that's one of the reasons gold went down. And, of course, along with that, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Secretary of the Treasury in England, said that there was going to be more salt. And, of course, he was lying. You know, everybody forgets about that on Monday. He said it on Thursday to rattle the market. And then, of course, the government came in and shorted the market naked. And, you know, I don't know how we're going to stop these people. It will stop eventually. And gold will go to where it's supposed to go, which I think should be $7,000 an ounce.
But, of course, in the meantime,
it will go there.
An awful lot of people are going to lose everything as they destroy the value of our currency. That is the plan, and people keep telling you about, you know, how to arrange your money and handle your money, as if we were living in the world that we've lived in the last 50, 75 years. That world is gone. And now, of course, we're moving towards, well, as I would like to say, $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking about worthless money, and that's where we're headed. Our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bob Chapman. And Bob, you go right ahead and give us your impression of what's going on here as far as the countries throughout the world. Certainly, it looks to me like the economy of almost every country in the world is contracting. Would that be a fair statement?
It is. By 30 or 40%. I wanted to say something, too, in regard to the defense of gold. Even if gold stays exactly where it's at and doesn't move one way or the other over the next 5 years, if the world economy economically and financially does what it's been doing and what it will continue to do, deteriorate, then the value of everything, with the exception of gold, we'll go down 60 to 100% like it did in the 1930s.
This is what I fear. We've got Tom on the line. He's only going to be with us for a moment or two. Tom, do you have a quick question for our guest?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Stan, for taking my call. Bob, today I got hammered with Mindfinders. I bought 2,000 shares of it, and I bought Agnico Eagle as it fell down below $50. Are we going to be okay with that? I know in the short term we're going to be losing some money on it, but in the long term they're only winners.
Well, you know, it's extraordinary the performance of the shares over the past five or so business days. And today, just to give you an example, now, mind you, gold was down substantially today, and $24 or something like that. And Agnico Eagle was up 2%. Gold Corp was up 2.41%. Silver Standard was down 2.40%. And the one that dropped the most was the more speculative one, and the lower priced one, which is very thin and heavily traded, which was Mindfinders. It was up 4.94%. But it goes back up just as quick as it came down. Now that tells me that the people who are buying gold stocks are saying, we don't believe all this. We think these things are going to turn around. And that's why they're as strong as they are. They were strong today. I mean, on a day like this where you get off $24, hey, they could have easily gone down 8% in one day.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Bob Chapman. And, of course, we have Tom calling from Chicago, commenting that he bought Agnico Eagle today. And Agnico Eagle actually went up today, in spite of the fact that gold fell $20 an ounce or more, and silver was down strongly as well. Which means, of course, that nothing is going as it should. But then you have to understand it's all manipulated. When you understand that, why, it all makes sense. Well, Bob, before we go on, our telephone number. I want you to get your telephone number out, tell people how they can get a copy of the International Forecaster, and then we'll get to Mark, who's calling us from Oregon. Go right ahead, Bob.
Agnico was 50.24 a share, off only 104 on the day. Well, that's pretty good. Anyway, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, about 35 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out to those who do not have the Internet twice a month. If you'd like to get a free introductory copy, you can go to one of three sources. Our site, theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternational, forecaster.com, or by email, bob@intforecaster.com. That's bob@intforecaster.com. Or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
And I'll tell you, it's fascinating. I enjoy reading it every week when it comes. Tom, do you have anything else you wanted to say?
I just wanted to ask, we talked about Ivanhoe not being a good stock to be in. I'm in it heavily, made a bad choice there, but is Yamana still good, look good to you, Gold Corp, all the other ones?
Yeah, Yamana's fine. There's a lot of stock out. I tend to like stocks with thinner floats. It tells me management accomplished what they had to accomplish much better than most others. With Agnico, it's 140 million shares out. Minefinders and Silver Standard are only about 60 million, and 700 million in Gold Corp. And so you can see, those are my choices for the better stocks. But as you can see, the thinner the float on the stock, the more leverage the company has. Plus, I know the managements, and I've been involved in this almost 50 years, so if I need to know anything, I just pick up the phone, and believe me, they answer.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much, Tom. And let's go to Mark, who's calling from Oregon. But before that, what do you think of Hecla as a stock?
It's a good company. It's just not in the league of the companies that I just spoke about. It's not bad. It sells around $220 a share, and they've got some good projects. But to me, it can't hold a candle to the four I mentioned.
All right, fine. Well, Mark, calling from Florence, Oregon. Incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You got a question for Bob? Hi, Mark. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Stan and Bob. It's great to speak with you as always. Bob, you know, you had mentioned a little earlier in the program World War III to come and a perspective that it seems where it's a linchpin event on which there are lesser events but of great significance to us all that will lead up to that will bring it in as an actual event. And then from there it will go on to the next linchpin event with smaller events perhaps interposed in between to get it there as far as their global agenda goes. Now, Bob, Alex Jones has been covering, in particular over the last week or two, and putting together documentation for there being mass graves being dug in this country in various sites that are all the way up to the size of 800 by 1,000 feet, which could hold 400,000 bodies, 40,000 bodies. Obviously, they're getting ready for something here. You have
Let's get Bob's thoughts on that. Bob, what do you think?
Well, I'll be talking to Alex when he comes back, because I'm on his show every Friday, and I'm sure he'll have talked about it before that. And we pick up most of InfoWars information and use the link and put it in the forecaster so people can see what he has to say. But that's what he's doing. He's out there. He's going to come back with pictures, movies, or whatever. And we're going to see what they're doing. They obviously, as the gentleman said, they're preparing for something real nasty. Those are a lot of people. And goodness knows how many of these great dark burial pits that they've built. I mean, are there thousands of them? Is there three or four? Or do they exist? We're going to find out.
I think we have to understand that
Americans should be very concerned.
I think that we have to understand that they have been preparing for years for biological warfare. They've been creating all sorts of horrible new diseases, terrible new chemicals, and, of course, the threat of nuclear warfare. And on one hand, we talk about nuclear disarmament. On the other hand, we covertly, of course, are working behind the scenes in preparation for a nuclear war. In fact, those of you who haven't read my January 2008 newsletter called State Secrets, that's January 2008, up on the Internet, tells how we've been transferring intentionally nuclear technology to Pakistan. Now, why would you do something like that? Well, how can you have a nuclear war unless you got a nuclear-armed enemy? And people say that's ridiculous. It's no more ridiculous than the fact that prior to the Second World War, we were actively sending all sorts of money and information over to Adolf Hitler. It was the American corporations in Hitler's Germany that were actually building the weapons for the German army. And if you doubt that, I have a letter that I found in Colonel House's paper sent by the American ambassador, Ambassador William Dodd, to Colonel House, asking, why are American corporations building weapons? Now, this is 1936. You say, you can't get any money out of the country. There's no money to be made. Why are American corporations building the weapons for Adolf Hitler? Well, I think we can tell you right now, because they wanted a war, but we can't let the American people know that, or the fact that it was even during the war, when American boys were being killed with German weapons, that those weapons were being built by General Motors and Ford and AT&T, and, of course, many of our other corporations were over there. We had 100 corporations building the weapons for Adolf Hitler. If you'd like to see that letter, call us at 1-800-544-8927. So anything else you want to say, Mark?
Yes, just one quick question to Bob, Dr. Stan. It's kind of the question part that follows the statement in this call. It's the main reason I call. Bob, I know you're extremely intelligent. You speak various languages. Beyond that, you've had an intelligence background professionally in the military. And so I value your opinion, Bob. And I just want to ask you if at this point, do you see where it would be placed as far as an intentional biological genocide in this country, because that would be just a massive move on their part and would bring about through the chaos of it and fulfill much of their New World Order agenda. Now, does it precede World War III at this point in your view, if you can tell at all, or do you have any gut feeling about that, or will it be right at World War III when the United States does something of a nefarious nature overseas? That they can blame it from outside terrorists outside of this country because we just invaded their country as such. And I do appreciate it. God bless you, gentlemen.
Thank you. I think their intention is to remove people from the earth, but I think the Third World is more what they'd like to get rid of people in, such as Africa and Asia in particular, because of large populations. But I think they would use biological warfare as a last resort. I think they'd use nuclear warfare before that. And I see that happening in that Middle East area and up into West Asia, if you may. And we could have biological warfare in the United States, but it all depends on what happens previous to the possibility of using it. I mean, it's such a hard question to answer.
Well, nobody really knows. There is a wonderful book, though, I recommend for everybody to get. We really should carry it. It's called Rainbow Six. Rainbow Six, written by Tom Clancy. And in the introduction to that, he says there's information here the government doesn't want you to know. What's it about? Why, it's about a group of people who wanted to limit the population, so they created an epidemic at the Olympic Games, and people went home, they were sick, And then they said, well, everybody's got to have a vaccine. There's where the weaponized the bacteria were. It was in the vaccine. And it's sort of like recently when Baxter, we found, was actually put out a vaccine for influenza, and they just accidentally, put the H5N1 virus, the influenza virus, the bird flu. Why would you accidentally put that in the vaccine that you want to give to millions of people? Fortunately, of course, the Czechoslovakians, before they would use it, they put it in the hamsters, and they all died, so they realized there was something there. They checked it out. And Baxter said, oh, it was just a mistake. Sorry, nobody's died of it yet, so it's just a mistake. Well, I'm not taking any vaccines when you have companies that make mistakes like that, because we know they put a cancer virus in the original polio vaccine, SV40. But if you're out there in the listening audience, you say, this is crazy talk. And once you get on the Internet and check out SV40 polio vaccine or Sabin or Salk vaccine, you'll find out there was a cancer virus in that, and millions of people have died of that cancer virus. Because they say it's just coincidental, just because it has the cancer virus and the cancer doesn't mean the cancer virus produced the cancer, although we know it produces in other animals, but we have never actually introduced it into human beings and proven it, because, of course, it's... people who have the cancer have the virus in the cancer and not in the other tissues. So let's go, of course, to Tom, who's calling us from Ohio. These are terrible things to think about. Fortunately, you have the Internet. I want you to prove me wrong. Go up on the Internet or get our talk on the planned population reduction. But check out the SV40, simian forest virus. Check out the recent story on Baxter and, of course, that the bird flu vaccine, H5N1, that they just accidentally put in the influenza vaccine. Fortunately, thank goodness the Czech picked it up before, of course, we had a major epidemic of bird flu, a deadly form of influenza in human beings. Did you hear about that, Bob?
Yes, I did. And incidentally, I do have some information coming in the next issue regarding vaccines and flus and things of that sort. There's a series there, and people should take a look at it. You can get a free introductory copy if you're not a subscriber. And they're all links. And we use a lot of links from other people in all kinds of categories. There's a lot of good writers out there who write about subjects that I do, and sometimes they write about them as good, if not better than I do. So we put them in there. You know, I don't have an ego problem. And Stan knows, he sees them all in there twice a week.
Right, I enjoy them all. Well, let's go to Tom calling from Ohio. Tom, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Bob, what exactly is a quick... description of their game plan? When are they going to start killing all of us? And I know they built a brand new armory over here, and they've got 5 microwave cannons in the back. And you tell them they're back there, they don't deny it, but they don't admit it either.
Well, first, you neither admit nor deny.
They built a reservoir, though, so they call it. But I was wondering if that reservoir could be, you could scoop the berms down a little bit at a time and make it, turn it into a, it's not being used yet. It's not full. It's not filled. It's got brand new Caterpillar equipment sitting across the street ready to do something.
All right, fine. Let's see if Bob has any thoughts on that. Bob, what are your thoughts, Ed?
I really don't know of the instance, and all I know is I think we should open our minds up, stay outside the box, and try to figure out what these horrible, horrible people can do, and try to prepare as best we can for it.
I think if people
I know my family, the first thing they wanted was gas masks.
I think if people really don't believe that this sort of thing goes on, go up on the Internet and type in the Great Hunger. It's the story of China, 1958 to 1962, when they starved to death. They say 30 million Chinese, but it was really about 44 million. We have that from Stephen Mosher, who knows the Chinese and talked to the people who checked it out. Between 41 and 43 million Chinese were starved to death, and not a word in the controlled media in the United States. We talk about the 6 million Jews. We never talked about Operation Keelhaul and the 6 million of Russians we sent back to Russia at the end of the Second World War to be slaughtered. We never talk about the Great Hunger, but you can look these things up. I want you to prove me wrong, and if you can, please give us a call. We'll be glad to put you on the line to prove us wrong. But if you're not going to be able to, our number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Sometimes things are too horrible to contemplate, but if the good people are not involved now, of course, they'll have no reason to complain if these things do come down. And all you need to do is go back to Elberton, Georgia, and stand in the shadow of the great satanic monument there, where they talk about maintaining the world population, maintain humanity at 500 million in constant balance with nature, in 8 different languages there on the 4 great granite stones. Well, 500 million means they're going to have to kill off over 90% of the world's population. Who would want to do that? Why, the very satanic secret society that put up the monument, and nobody has ever been told who put up the money. A man put up the money, called himself R.C. Christian, but he admitted that was his name. He said he represented the secret society. But nobody knows what the secret society was, and if it's really there, wouldn't you think that 60 Minutes or 2020 or one of those other investigative organizations would have gone there to find out who put up the mysterious monument? I'm sure you've heard of it, Bob.
I have, and I don't know who it was.
Well, but the man called himself R.C. Christian. I think that was a pseudonym for the Rosicrucians or a secret society, a secret satanic society. You can go up to the Internet. You can actually, they have websites. They're not going to tell you their secrets, but they operate. In fact, they've got one of their big temples over in San Jose, the Rosicrucian Temple there, and people can go see it, and you can't take pictures inside, but you can see it outside. And the Rosicrucians have temples in several places in the United States. I believe that what we're seeing in Elberton, Georgia, put up by Mr. R.C. Christian, is simply another example of the influence of the ancient mystery religions on what's going on today, and not one person in a thousand has any idea of what's really taking place. Well, Bob, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Gee, I knew you were going to say that.
You've done it before. Go right ahead.
I think we got to look forward on everything. And I think the next several weeks will bring a lower stock market. I think there's some dreadful news out there. Otherwise, they wouldn't be pushing gold down the way that they are. And that should bring about that test of the formal low. And couldn't maybe even go lower. And I think gold will find a bottom in here somewhere between 845 and 870. Maybe right here it would close today. We don't know, but there's a good chance of that.
Okay, let's
so
go to
quite a correction.
Let's go to Steve, who's calling from Pennsylvania with a quick question. Steve, do you have a quick question for us?
Well, not a question, but maybe an observation that I made on the topic you were talking of earlier with the mass graves.
All right.
Every time I heard the locations, it was always never around the Pittsburgh area, Ohio, Pennsylvania, or West Virginia. And the reason is you don't hear about these mass graves around here is because they're going to put them into coal mines. They're going to use body from dump trucks to body bags to coal. They opened some of the short rails back up, and they're going to stick the bodies in the mines, leave them inside of a body bag.
Well, because we don't know that for a fact, but it certainly is a possibility. It certainly is. We're dealing with really very evil and wicked people, and perhaps you're right there, Steve. I appreciate your observation. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, that's all. Thank you. Good luck. Keep up the work.
Okay, fine. And you get people back there listening to us, will you?
Thanks
so much. Okay, Bob, you got 1 minute to wrap things up.
So anyway, I think the market's going to head back down. I think gold will base out here and go up. A good buying opportunity, both in coins as well as the shares. And I think people have to continue to look at things on a long-term basis and be very careful what they do. And quite frankly, I don't see any other alternative but for gold and silver. And in the investment scene, we're having to sell out all our Swiss bonds because the Swiss are saying, well, we want our currency to remain soft because everybody else is devaluing their currency, which they are. And so the gains you might have got in the Swiss franc aren't going to be there.
So we're out of time, Bob. God bless. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Hope you enjoy our conversation with Bob as he brings us abreast of what's going on. We put together a new four-tape set. It's called The Financial Armageddon. It's interviews with Gerald Celente and a couple of other experts, William Grigg, Bob Chapman, one other. And it's we've just put in all new interviews there. Financial Armageddon. It's a four CD set. We recommend it. We have a new a syllabus that goes with the talk I've given, and of course it's got fascinating information in it you're not going to see elsewhere, going into the fact that nobody even knows where the TARP money has gone. Of course, it's got speeches given in 1932 by Congressman McFadden talking about how foreigners owned our banking system. 1964 by Wright Patman talking about the scam, which is our banking system, the fraudulent nature of it. And then, of course, you'll see that actual letter that President Roosevelt wrote to Colonel House talking about, of course, how both you and I know that a financial element in the major centers, not center, but centers, has owned the United States government since the days of Andrew Jackson, and we're going to see a replay of what happened then during this administration. So you actually see the letter as not accidental. Everything that went on then was all planned, and everything going on today is planned. You need, of course, to get our talk on the financial tsunami. It was given several years ago, but it's going to be, well, it's very apropos today. It comes with a syllabus. We have the great book, The Coming Battle, written in 1889 by a lawyer who could see how the banks were going to come to dominate this country. We have a book written in 1935 by Gertrude Krugman called The Money Creators, and everything was done to suppress this book. And we carry the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, excellent book. We carry the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, because it is a conspiracy. It is a privately owned bank. And they interlock with the great banking houses that have been around for over 100 years and have taken us from war to war to war, where they finance both sides in the wars. That book, again, the Federal Reserve Conspiracy. We have the book, Fiat Money, Inflation in France. My little pamphlet on the history of money, on the financial meltdown. You need to have this information if you have any hope of surviving the difficult times that lie ahead. And then, of course, we ask you, of course, to go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't laid in your supply of long-term food, why, if you'd like a catalog, we'll get it off to you. You should have that on hand if you'd like to get your Berkey water filters, just so you can have potable water. If you'd like to get your lay in a supply of health products, I'm talking about vitamins and minerals and antibiotic things of that sort, vitamin D, things you need to keep your immune system up, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. You can watch our DVDs there free. You can read our newsletters for nothing. You can certainly listen to our radio programs 9 hours a day if you want to, or listen to the archive programs. They're there. We want you to get the information. We want you to get it to others, and it sounds so absurd. This could never happen in America. But I would ask, why not? If God is just, why couldn't this happen here? We're the greatest purveyor of pornography in the world. I mean, we actually have done everything we could to violate God's laws, and we shouldn't be at all surprised to find that God is going to bring his judgment upon this country. And so we ask you, of course, to certainly get our material. help us to circulate it, to understand the spiritual forces at work. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to, or watch the DVD. It's free up on the Internet. Get our talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret. It's been passed down for 5,000 years. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because if this country doesn't turn back to God, we're going to lose America. And then we ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for my ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.